You know, God's been doing some very incredible things in our church over this last couple of months. Would you agree? God is moving, and he's moving in individual lives. He's moving in our church corporately. I think we're starting to get it, that there's way more to be untapped than what has been untapped in the history of this church, in the scriptures, in knowing God. And I am so excited about this, and I've told a couple people, I seriously believe that Open Door is moving into revival. Revival is not something that we create. It's something that happens when God's people come to know God and want and desire to know God. Revival will come, because to know God, we have to be in his word and in the scripture and prayer. And I see that happening more and more. Well, this week was a week where I seen that God was moving in an individual life. And this person called, and he had told me a couple times, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to you. So he kept telling me, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to you. So pinned me down to a date to come to his house so that I could speak with him. So I did so, because he said that he had to speak to me because God told him something. Now, you understand something. As a pastor, I hear that all the time. People say, hey, God spoke to me, I need to tell you what he said, and you need to get this out, and you need to tell everybody. And I want to be careful, and I want to walk lightly here, but, you know, a lot of times people will say that to me and say, well, God spoke this to me, and you need to tell everybody, but there's never any action in their own life on what God has told them or revealed to them. And that's what I went expecting, to be honest with you. And on the other hand, when this guy began to tell me, I still wasn't sold out until almost at the very end of the conversation, that this was not the same old, same old. This guy was not just saying, this is what God told me and I need to tell everybody, but that he was going to put his money where his mouth is. And that's hard in Christianity today, you know. Somebody said to me that there was a hypocrite coming into church today. Listen, this whole church is full of hypocrites. Amen? Amen? Including me. I'm the biggest hypocrite. But you know what? Don't stand and look at me and tell me I'm a hypocrite, because most likely you are too. Okay? But whenever God speaks to you and he puts something into you that aligns with his word, that's the second thing that I have to look at when somebody says that. But when this person asked me about preaching, I said, what? And it took me a couple minutes to process this. I had to process it like this. I had to say, is this message aligned with God's word? Two, will the church benefit from this message? Three, is this person really enacting and engaging in the message in which God gave him? If I can answer no to any one of those three questions, I will not let you preach. Okay? Not like that. Not just somebody coming off the floor. This person has never preached before. And when I confronted him about that, and he says, listen, this was the word. It's what's in me that God has placed. I have to get it out. I will not be the person that stands in the way of a movement of God. And I know what you pay me to do. Thank you. You do that very well. But I will not stand by and say, listen, I can't let you preach because that's what I'm supposed to do. Listen, when God's speaking into a heart of a believer, and I honestly believe he's going to speak into your heart today, okay, that it's going to be transformational in our church. So with that said, in full agreement with his message, I want to ask Brother Michael Yolch if you will come.
Morning. If you're visiting Open Door today, you've come at a remarkable time. Things are happening here. You might have not heard. There's so many things going on. I tried to tell God through my whole life, since I became a Christian, there's a lot of things I'm not going to do. No way. God, I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm never going to play guitar on a worship team. Ain't happening. Be nothing you can do. I'll tell you another thing, God. I'm never getting married. I met enough crazies. Now I have a cat, and I'm good to go. And I'm definitely never having children, God. I'm going to tell you that right now. And above all those things, I said I will never, ever preach. And I'm not here to preach, actually. I'm here to deliver a message. I'm not here to preach. I'm so grateful, and you all should be as well, that God has appointed a pastor to us who doesn't have a death grip on this pulpit. There's a lot of churches that do. That we have a pastor who is obedient enough and prayerful and discerning enough to know when the Lord is speaking and when he's not. I hope you're not disappointed if you came to hear Larry speak, because you should come every week to hear the Lord speak. Through anyone, whether it's Larry, Zeke, Rich. That's my dad in his 1954 Ford. It has a dragon painted on the back. Dad was cool. And at a very young age, my parents both had two of the best jobs you could ever have back in the 60s and 70s. Dad worked at Weirton Steel, and my mother worked in a glass factory called Brockway Glass in Washington, PA. We had everything. Everything. Our Christmases, the presents were stacked a third of the way up the tree and far out from there. You couldn't even really walk through our living room. We had it all. And just the first several years of my life, my dad, who's still with us, by the way, through the first several years of my life, my dad had this car, a 1964 Plymouth Fury, a Thunderbird, a Bonneville station wagon, a Volkswagen Beetle, a convertible Corvette Stingray, three motorcycles, a Triumph, a BSA, a Harley Davidson, custom furniture that was super cool, big stereos, and the nicest color TV you could possibly own back then. We had it all. The neighborhood we lived in was only about 20, 25 houses, and the whole neighborhood always bought things. Everybody bought things, and everybody talked about the things that everybody bought. Did you see the Yoltz's new 8-track player? It's amazing. The tape pops up from the top. No more of that pushing it in and out in the front, man. No way. How about so-and-so's new truck? You seen that? Oh, yeah, he loved the new color. He loved the new color, had to have it. Traded in his old truck, had a whole bunch of negative equity, but he'll pay it off. He'll pay it off, don't worry about that. Besides, it has a little switch, makes the window go up and down. No more of this exhausting stuff. Ho-ho! Worn out. How about so-and-so's brand new golf clubs? They're brand new golf clubs. They get a new set every year. Their score hasn't improved for 10 years. New clubs, you know? So-and-so's brand new shotgun. He says it shoots just a little straighter than the other four. Good. Good. And, of course, there's Linda's 10th purse that matches perfectly with her 20th pair of shoes. All right? My obsession with material things continued through high school and into the Air Force. All the brand name stuff. As soon as I got into the Air Force, my very first paycheck, I calculated to figure out how much can I finance with X amount of dollars every month? How much can I get? How much can I get? Well, that's what I got. That's what I got. Up in that top left, you see, I found a perfectly good Volkswagen Beetle, 76 Volkswagen Beetle. It ran perfect. I got it for $1,100. I only had 400 of it, though. My parents sent me the other 700. I wasn't able to save up that much on my own. Ha! But my $1,100 Beetle that ran perfectly wasn't good enough. I didn't want to just go from A to B, man. I was in Texas. Lived in Texas, man. Everything's bigger, of course, in Texas. But beyond that, everything was way cool in the 80s, man. Car shows, car stereo competitions. Oh, I don't have the picture up. So you see the before and after of the Volkswagen Beetle here. It was perfectly fine up there. And a little over $10,000 later, I had a Volkswagen Beetle that was awesome. That's sarcastic, in case you missed it. Over $5,000 of the dollars went into the stereo system. There was no back seat in this car. It had $5,000 worth of speakers, Alpine CD player, because it was the best. Because they used to have stereo competitions in Texas. You'd take your awesome car, and there'd be a crowd of people around it to look at your stuff. And a judge would get inside your car with you, and you'd crank up your car, and they'd hold a decibel meter, and whoever had the loudest stereo won! Woohoo! Yeah! Awesome. That engine, the only thing original on the engine is the block. Everything else is custom, chrome. My buddy owned a speed shop, and above the door it said, "Speed costs money. How fast do you want to go?" Fast. Guitars, amplifiers. I spent every single dime I own that I made on what you see in those pictures right there. And also food. I mentioned food because in the Air Force, you're given an ID card, and they have the best cafeteria you can imagine, and you walk in, and you eat like a king anytime you want for free. Not in Texas, man. I want that 2-pound steak. I want that rack of ribs. Gotta have it. Send me a pizza every night. Thousands of dollars. Seriously. By the end of my 4-year enlistment, I was broke. I had to sell everything I had, except my Beetle, because I had to drive home. Every single thing I owned was sold. As soon as I did get home, I was broke, so I needed to sell my car. A rich couple from Fox Chapel drove all the way out there. I had it in the garage, all waxed up. And husband and wife came in, and the wife skipped out to the garage, head to toe, jewelry, brand names, everything. She looks. She said, "I love it. Oh, my gosh, I love it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm going to call it Baby Blue." And that's what they named the car when they bought it. When I played the stereo for them, they said, "Oh my gosh, can you imagine what people are going to say at the Steeler games when we take it to the tailgate parties? They're not gonna, it's amazing." So, they gave me $3,000 and drove it home. I got a phone call an hour later from the husband that informed me that it blew up in the Fort Pitt tunnel on the way home. Sorry, man. Well, I surely didn't know it was going to blow up. I thought everything was fine. That couple divorced not long after that, actually. I think I got a glimpse of maybe what may have perpetuated it. I don't know. Let's fast forward to 2002, the Great Divide. I was a brand new Christian, maybe about 5 years. I was single. I live downtown on the north side of Pittsburgh. I had an amazing job at a design firm. That's where I had also aspired to be for years and years. I got there. Design firm. One of the best in not only Pittsburgh, but the whole country. Agnew Moyer Smith. I loved it there. We had big, giant clients. Big, giant clients. They paid us really well. And everybody always talked about the designers and the illustrators at Agnew Moyer Smith. Oh, yeah, we were something. It's my apartment in the historic district, like I said, in the north side of Pittsburgh. Beautiful apartment, filled with everything. Big screen TV, big stereos, furniture, you name it. The apartment had it, and it also had 650 music CDs. I'll do the math for you, it's about $8,000. And I had a brand new SUV. I love that SUV. You know why? My favorite thing about that SUV was when I pushed the lock button on my remote, it beeped a little, the horn beeped a little, right? Just like all of them do today. But what I loved about that was when I pushed the lock button on my car and it beeped, anybody who was around me or my car could see that I was successful. They'd know I was driving that car. No way I was leaving that job. I was never going to leave. Split second. The year before, 9/11. Without bringing up all the sadness and everything else about 9/11. The fallout from 9/11 economically across not only this country but the whole world started to hit all of our clients. Our clients weren't willing to pay us $150 an hour anymore for months at a time. So, that was the end of that job. I had a small severance package that allowed me to take a few months off, that's all, because, well, I had to pay my bills, right? So I took a few months off. Decided I was going to sell cars. I love Saturn cars. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get out behind that desk. Can't take it anymore. I'm going to get out there. I want to talk to people, sell cars, have fun. So that's where I went. Went and sold cars. I was really good at it, too. I was not what a lot of people think of as a car salesman. I never once told a single lie. Didn't have to. I knew all my competition. Made a lot of money in the slowest month, it's about $4,000 a month. In our biggest months, $10,000 a month. Made good money. And I was the top salesman in our location all the while I was there. So Rob Cochran said, come on, let's go to Nemacolin. He would always take his top salesman to Nemacolin Woodlands. If you don't know what that is, it's a ridiculously fancy resort a couple hours from here. Spent a couple days down there with spas and steaks and lobster. Woohoo! Yeah, I'm going to sell more cars for you, Rob. Through these early years as a Christian, I was repeatedly asked by a number of worship teams if I would be willing to return my musical gifts to God on their worship team. Will you please come play with? We need a guitar player. Please come for 5 years, at least three or four worship teams. Come play your guitar, please. No way. Not happening. Not happening. Why not? Stage fright, I'd tell them. In my mind, that was legitimate because I was so worried about me. What am I going to look like up there? What if I make a mistake? You're going to laugh at me. So, I began to turn my extra bedroom into a full-blown recording studio. In my apartment, whole room, what can I do with it? Recording studio. Surely that's what God wanted for me. If I was scared to get out in front of people and play on a worship team, surely he wanted me to just get all this stuff and sit right here by myself. Besides, I worked really hard and I deserved it. I deserved all of it. I spent thousands of dollars that I had not yet earned on keyboards, the state-of-the-art digital recorder, a rack full of guitars and basses, keyboard, drum, custom track lighting. I even paid $500 for a studio chair because, well, your studio's not complete until you have the perfect chair. And I was still a good Christian. I went to church every Sunday. I sang the songs they asked me to sing. I went on a couple retreats. In fact, I was an especially good Christian. Do you know why? Because there was an old black homeless man in our neighborhood. And I helped him out all the time with my beautiful Christian heart. His name was Eddie. Eddie was 62 years old. He'd come to the apartment 2-3 times a week. Say, "Mr. Yolch, is there anything I could do for you today? I'd do anything, a couple dollars. So I would allow Eddie to wash my apartment windows. I would also allow Eddie to wash my car. In Pittsburgh, it was all on-street parking where I was. So I would allow Eddie to wash my car. And the only water that was available where I lived was all the way at the end of the block. There was a spigot. And Eddie would bring a 5-gallon white bucket and some rags. And he'd walk all the way down and fill it up and struggle to bring it back. "Here's your $10, Eddie. Here's your $10. I would love to show you a picture of Eddie. You could look in his eyes and his face and you can see the story of a long, hard life of valleys in the street. I'd love to show you that picture of Eddie. But I obviously never took the time or cared enough to take a picture of him like I did all my other stuff. When I finished my recording studio, it was perfect. Perfect. After everything was tucked away and polished, and the cables were all tucked in, and the floor was vacuumed, the track lighting was dimmed one night, just enough so I could see everything. I sat in my chair and I rolled back against the wall. And I literally sat there in complete silence for 15 minutes, gazing at my stuff. And I said this, and I'll never forget it, verbatim. "Oh God, thank you for blessing me with all of this. God blessed me with nothing. Nothing. I blessed myself. If there was anything at all that God did bless me with, it was his relentless patience while he waited for me to get a clue. I don't know how he does it. I would have flicked me off the face of the earth years ago. But at that moment, at that very moment, God had had enough. That's it, Michael. That's it. What we got? Within days, 3 days, construction began on all of the roads around our car dealership. Nobody could even get to us, even if they wanted to buy a car. I couldn't sell anything. Nobody could sell anything. There was no way I could maintain my lifestyle. I scraped and scoured the papers. I went everywhere looking for a job. There was a lot of jobs available, not enough that were going to maintain my lifestyle. So, I was persuaded by a real smooth-talking fella at a job fair that I could easily make 6 figures if I joined his team selling pre-need funeral arrangements through the Catholic Cemeteries Association. I'm all in, man. $100,000? Yeah. 6 figures? They sold everything. Simple little nameplates, simple headstones, caskets, everything. And they also sold mausoleum crypts. That's what you see here if you're not familiar with a mausoleum. The one on the left is an interior. The one on the right is outside, obviously. But let me tell you something about this. When we went to our sales training, here's what they told us. You don't want to sell headstones and simple caskets, no. You need to sell these mausoleums. You need to sell these mausoleum spaces. In fact, each of these levels of mausoleum have a different name. So when you present them to people, you are to explain to them the names of these different levels. The bottom one is called the foot or the ground level. And they told us, when you tell people about that, you want to say, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, do you really want your husband buried on the ground? Isn't it going to be a little hard when you're a little older and see you have a walker? It's going to be kind of hard to reach down and touch him, isn't it? It's your loved one. It didn't cost too much down there. Next level up is where you wanted to sell. The next level up is the heart level. That's the heart level. You tell those people that if you want to be as close as you can with your loved one, you put them there. Yeah, it's a lot of money, sure. But isn't he or she worth it? Next one up was the hand level. Most people could still reach up there and touch their loved one. And they get the least expensive as you go up. 6 figures. Since I was never able to bring myself to grossly manipulate people's emotions, what I actually made was $430 in 3 months. I sold one tiny little headstone and a casket to a veteran. That was it. That's $36 per week, by the way. During those 3 months, my phone rang off the hook. Debt collectors, bills, credit cards, interest rates, late fees, rising like a tsunami. You've been there? My dad always used to say, I know that they hire people with the most annoying voices to do that job. Mr. Yalch, we haven't received the payment. Of course you haven't received the payment. I don't have it. And then out of the blue, the city of Pittsburgh sent me a monthly gas bill for $1,800. It was an obvious mistake, but my landlady, who worked for the city of Pittsburgh, refused to pay it, and so did the city. There was nothing left to do. I had to sell everything I had again. When I say everything, people, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about every piece of furniture, There was nothing in the kitchen, nothing in the living room, no TV, no stereo, no lights, no nothing, not a single CD, not one thing on the wall. I even sold my carpets, not the ones that were there, but I bought carpets to sold the carpets. I sold it all. Of course, the whole recording studio, gone. Every item in it. And by the way, not one single song was ever recorded there. Not one. I was left with four things. A twin bed, a table lamp, which sat on the floor, a little bit of clothes, and a 5-gallon glass jar that looks like those big water bottles. You've seen those big glass 5-gallon jars? I took that to Pittsburgh with me years ago because my plan was to fill it with change, all my spare change. I figured when that thing got to the top, man, there had to be a couple, $3,000 in there. What can I do with that? Well, it never got close to the top. I was always dumping it out in between paychecks. So I sat in my empty apartment on the floor and I emptied the little bit of change at the bottom of my jar. I dumped it on the floor. And I sat and counted all of it. And when I was finished counting, I had exactly $14. To my name. And the split second that I finished counting that change, that $14, knock at the door. It was Eddie. I can't make this stuff up. Eddie. How you doing, Eddie? Well, Mr. Yolch, I was wondering if there's any way you could possibly help me get a room down at the shelter, Liberty Avenue, tonight. I don't want to sleep outside again. How much is it, Eddie? $7. $7. And when I parted the last $14 to my name in half, That was the moment that God gave me a long, crystal clear, and sickening look into my own pathetic heart. Right between my hands, He let me look, and He showed it to, all of it to me. Materialism. Materialism is a lot more than the love of things. It includes everything you see up there. People often refer to as the seven deadly sins. Whatever. Wrath. Why wrath? Because I was furious when I couldn't get something. I was even more furious when someone took it away. Greed? Obviously. Sloth? What do you mean sloth? All I did was sit in front of my stuff. I was worthless. I couldn't do anything for the kingdom or anybody else. Spent all my time worshiping my stuff. Pride, obviously. Lust, oh yeah. We lust over everything these days. The world told us to, and they taught us how to. Envy, got to keep up with the Joneses, right? Got to. Gluttony, we all have an obscene amount of things. Not every single one of us, but the vast majority. And of course, you can throw vanity in there as well. You know, Larry asked me, he said, why do you think most of this world hates America? It's because of this. A lot of it. How much we have, how spoiled we often are, things of that nature. So if the world hates America for those reasons, how do you think God feels about us? How do you think God feels about us? God also showed me a couple other things. He instantly showed me how incredibly worthless all my stuff was. Worthless. And he also showed me just who is in control. All of it, right then. It was time to die to myself, and it was time to make God Lord. Fast forward to 2015. The road to get here nearly killed me, but I've never felt so alive. I used to joke to people, I used to say, it's a good thing Jesus wears sandals. It hurts just a little less every time he kicks me. Speaking of material possessions, what did Jesus have? A robe, some sandals? Didn't even have a place to lay his head, did he? But what he owned was everything. And still does. Everything. And he gave it away. Now that my dad's a little older and a lot wiser, he now tells me, son, there are a whole bunch of people staying awake 24 hours a day to figure out exactly how to get your money. There's just a few of them, of thousands. These companies spend millions of dollars researching how to poke your emotions. From their logos, to their advertisements, to their sales, to the newer, the brighter, the lighter, the bigger, the faster, the smaller. You can look at them. There they are. Got your Under Armour. Got all your Apple stuff. New tractor. Bought a new tractor. Got it all. And each of these logos do evoke some sort of emotion from us, if you're honest with yourself. DeWalt. This tool I want, way better than Milwaukee. Right? Ford, Dodge, Chevy. What? Cabela's. On and on and on. And be honest, ladies, an awful lot of us love some of those logos up there. I don't have materialism completely mastered yet, people. I don't. And is it okay to own some nice things? Sure it is. Of course it is. But how much do we need? How much do we need? Before the Lord laid all of this on my heart, last year, I bought my wife, Lauren, a designer purse. Lauren is the most humble, gentle, non-materialistic person I have ever known, who never wants anything, ever. I already knew she had a Dooney and Burke purse, not because of the name. She really believes that, and in fact, they make a very high quality purse that could last a lifetime. Good. I don't have to buy a $50 purse 20 times, right? But what do I know? I'm just a guy who wants to make my wife happy on Christmas, so the world tells me women really love the Kate Spade. So I bought the Kate Spade for my wife. $350. For a purse. I'm not giving you the number just because I'm saying, look how much I spent on my wife's purse. No, just to prove a point in a second. I looked at that purse when I bought it and I thought, is it really worth $350? I secretly thought that to myself. Is it worth $350? Meanwhile, would you like to wager a guess on how much I spent on music equipment last year? $15,000. I'm ashamed to say. $15,000? I had too much to be productive. It's ridiculous. Are you the me that I'm still trying to kill every single day? You secretly enjoy pushing that button so that people see what you drive? Do you love walking around with that purse slung over your shoulder, making sure the logo's out and that the other women know the familiar pattern? They know what you're carrying. You're spending hundreds or thousands of dollars making your car or truck awesome. Need to buy another gun? One more blouse, one more dress, one more pair of shoes? Maybe thousands more dollars in home improvements? Just because maybe you're tired of looking at the color of that carpet? How about some more NFL stuff? NFL, what's that got to do with anything? Need some more Steeler gear? Or whatever your team is? The NFL is a $9 billion industry right now. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, says he'll make it a $25 billion industry by 2027. You think these people care about you? This world and the NFL has completely convinced you to lose your mind and your money over some people moving a ball back and forth. And if the tens of millions of fans in this country would lose their minds for the gospel of Jesus Christ like they do for their team on Sunday, maybe our White House wouldn't be lit up like a frickin' rainbow. Still think this is the best nation on earth? You're living under a rock. Amen. Between flags and rainbows, I told my wife, we need to get the revelation somehow. We're on it. We're on it. I thank God that he sent Terry Williams here a few weeks ago, as you guys know. You've heard a lot about Terry Williams, who came and taught us not only why we worship, but exactly how to worship. It was a big deal. It was a life changer. I had heard that Terry Williams was a life changer the last time he came. I thought people were exaggerating, to be honest with you. Really, Mike Jeffries? Really, John Shaw? Life changer? Come on. God is the life changer that speaks through Terry Williams. And after 3 days and nights of true worship and prayer without ceasing, I went home late Sunday night, that Sunday night, completely and utterly exhausted. I thought I would be asleep in 15 seconds. As soon as my head hit the pillow, the Lord woke me up, and I was more awake and alive than I had ever been in my life with everything that you're hearing today, the message, the visuals, the words. Tell the people. You're not hearing from me today, people. You're not hearing from me today. I promise you that. Kept my mind going 100 miles per hour for what comes next. The book of Acts. Jesus had ascended. The apostles were on their way spreading the gospel. It was the beginning of the church as we know it today. We get to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And this is the NIV version. If you are able to see the words on the screen, please follow with me. We're going to read this together, but we're not just going to read it to get through it. We're going to read it slowly and take it in, please. All the believers, read it with me, were one in heart and mind, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection, of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is not a fairy tale. This happened. This is God's word. This church has needs. Your brothers and sisters next to you have needs. Needs. Do you know that one of our brothers or sisters is just a couple of weeks away from no longer receiving a paycheck? They don't know what's coming next. Do you know that one of us had no idea how they were going to heat their home last winter? No idea. How are they going to heat their home? Maybe the person next to you has no idea how they're going to pay for their medication to keep their heart okay, or whatever it is. Some people next to you, or you yourself, you may need serious counseling. You need some real help. Larry can't do everything. Larry will tell you himself, he's not qualified for some things. We need professionals. He needs a hand. And you know who has a need more than anyone? All of the lost people right outside these doors, or even inside of them. He'll tell you, our policeman over there, how many thousands of kids in the Ohio Valley got a needle in their arm or anything else that they can put into their body to escape reality? Can we reach them? You say, it doesn't cost money to reach people. Well, there's ministries that need funding. We could do things, huge things. Ministries, even this mission trip coming up to Tennessee. What do we have for it, Larry? $1,000? What are we going to do? Buy some shingles and set them on the ground, or $1,000? I'm sorry, a couple $1,000. I don't know how far that goes in some serious restoration or whatever the plan is this year. I had a beautiful young girl last summer that lived up on a hill from me. She babysat for us a few times. Put a bullet through her head. 22 years old. Who can we reach? What can we do? Well, I can no longer sit in my house when all of these people have needs and stare at this stuff in front of you. I had a relative a few years ago. I was at my nephew's graduation party. I had a relative come up to me, and without exaggeration, she walked up, put her finger 1 foot away from my face, and she said, "How do you like my new ring?" It was $10,000. I'll tell you what I think of your ring. It breaks my heart thinking about everyone who could have had a meal today if you weren't worried about your finger being sparkly. Well, that's what I said. And I reiterated that story to some other people, and they gasped, "Oh, how obnoxious." Yeah, wasn't she? So I'd go home and sit in my house of hypocrisy. There's my sparkly finger. There's my sparkly finger. Let me tell you a little bit about some of this stuff. And by the way, I still have enough back home. These are surely not my leftovers. I did not pick and choose. Oh, I could get rid of this. Oh, no. These were my most favorite things. A couple things, real quick. This guitar right here is one of the most famous guitars ever made. It's a Fender Stratocaster, iconic, woohoo! More than that, it's a custom shop Fender Stratocaster. It's made out of the best alder wood and maple wood for the neck that you can find on the earth. If you'd like to buy this guitar today, online or anywhere else in a store, it's $2,000. I didn't buy this guitar. A dear friend of mine handed it to me for nothing because he already had God transform him. He recognized it for what it is: wood, plastic, and metal. Could care less. This guitar right here is worth about $800. I found it in a pawn shop down Follinsby, $225. I came home and told my wife, "You're not going to believe it. There's an $800 guitar down there. They only want like $225 for it." Wow. And then I forgot about it. But a few weeks later, I woke up on my birthday morning, and I came down the steps, and there the guitar was with a little bow on there because my wife was thoughtful enough to think, "Geez, my husband really likes that thing. I'll get it for his birthday." Sentimental value. A friend gave this to me. My wife bought me this for my birthday. I don't care. That memory is not going to be lost, or my appreciation is not going to be lost when I no longer have these. What are you having trouble getting rid of? That set of plates mom left you? I don't know. These amplifiers. Well, let me just go down. 800, 2,000, 350, 350, 400, 400, 400, $1,100, $200, and this is a vintage polytone amp that you gotta have for $400. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Can't take it anymore. And I told Terry Williams when he came here, I said, "You came in the nick of time." He didn't even ask me what I meant. He didn't even ask me what I meant. God didn't have to grab me by the throat and smash me against the wall again to teach me a lesson for another time. So this is the stuff that I'm bringing to the apostles' feet. It's all going to be sold as soon as possible. And every dime of it will be given to this church for those who are in need of anything. Because I know that the God-appointed leadership of this church will prayerfully discern exactly where it needs to go. Let me explain to you what this is not. What this is not is the Michael Yolt Show. I'm not up here to say, "Look at my stuff and how much I spent and how much I'm giving, woo-hoo." You better believe that. The other thing that this is not is radical behavior. Is this radical behavior, Zeke? Exactly. And the other thing that this is not is for us to create, if we bring our things, if you're able to let go of some of your stuff. How much do you have in your shed, your garage, your attic, your basement, your closet? What are you looking at next? What's the next gadget, purse, tool, whatever? Pass on it. Bring it in to the apostles' feet. Amen. Forget it. So let me tell you what this is not. If we bring our things to the apostles' feet as they had done in the book of Acts, it is not to create a miniature version of the welfare system of the United States. What does that mean? If we build up some money in this church for ministries and helping one another, that doesn't mean, well, you guys have the money now, here's my bills. Here's my bills. Oh, no, no, no. Don't even think about it. It's not going to happen. I know some people who've had that expectation in the past in any church I've ever been to. You got the money. If you're working, though, if you're working, you're trying, you're right, you're doing. Yes. Do you understand that if there's 200 of us in here that brought a lousy $500, we would have $100,000 like that. $100,000. Do you know what we have in our benevolent fund today? What's a benevolence fund? Well, that's a little fund we have in case somebody has a need. $1,000 and some change. What? Surely our needs are greater than this. Surely the needs outside these walls are greater than this. $1,000? You say, I don't have $500. Good, I got a few of you covered here, okay? I've got a few of you covered. You have no excuse, all right? You say, I don't buy all this stuff. You're, I save all my money. Maybe that's another sermon. It's okay to save a little bit of money. How much do you need? How much do you need? Got to leave my children something. They still can't take care of themselves. You're not their retirement plan. Now let me tell you what this is. This is very simple biblical obedience. This is saying that the world and its possessions no longer own me. This is not only having had it up to here, it is having had it down to here. I've had it down to here. This is worship. Terry Williams said, it's not a sacrifice until it hurts a little bit. Let me tell you what's beyond the hurt. Beyond the hurt is feeling nothing but complete peace and joy. Amen. When you start letting it go. Amen. That's what's beyond the hurt. Peace and joy. I can't even wait till someone benefits from this crap, this stuff. Some of you might leave here thinking, Michael's crazy. He's lost it. He ain't getting my stuff, man. I'm glad he brought his stuff in. Ain't touching my stuff. I'm going to go home and put my feet up, watch 3 hours of golf on my 65-inch TV. That's what I'm doing. And I'll wear my Steeler jersey while I'm dead. You might be thinking, this church is getting way too serious for me, man. People are getting too serious for me. If we're looking for a nice, warm, fuzzy Christian life filled with bright white smiles, buy some cotton candy on your way home, and when you get there, log on to joelosteen.com. Ooh, nothing. It's a fact. You can spend the rest of your life all cozied up with your stuff with a bright white smile on your face when you watch Joel and Victoria. Some people might even want to tell me that they're angry about something I said in this message. Some people might even want to give me praise for this message. I won't be out front to receive any of your anger or your praise, because I'm not the one who delivered the message. I'm going to pack up my guitar and leave the same way I have every Sunday. You can take your anger or your praise to the Lord, because that's who you're hearing from today. Discern what He has to say about it. More. You want more than you could ever possibly conceive. Do you? Of course you do. Start by giving it all away. Start by giving it all away. There's no greater feeling. I have one last question for you. What are you willing to bring? I sure pray, and I will continue to pray when I leave here, that you will go home and look at all your stuff, think about those in need, and say, what can I bring? What can I bring? Could you imagine if all of us here brought all of our stuff and filled this church for the biggest flea market or garage sale that the High Valley's ever seen? We took all, got rid of our stuff, gave it to the church. All our junk. Right, not the junk. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I can get rid of that thing. Yeah, not the junk. Bring in your stuff. What will you bring? The praise band is not coming up here today. This is not going to be like our standard invitation. The invitation is always open. 24/7, every second of the day, God's invitation is open to you to accept Him as your Savior, to confess and repent. And even if you've already done that, it's to be a time of invitation to search your own heart about your stuff. About your stuff. My dad called me last night. He said, son, I might visit your church tomorrow. Can I wear my hat? And I was a little uncomfortable for a second about what to tell him. I told him, come as you are, though. I only mentioned that because I know for a fact that somebody would have probably saw him sitting up there with a hat on in church and thought, who's wearing a hat in church? If that's you, you're not ready to bring your stuff. You're not ready. Instead of the praise band coming up, I'm going to play a song for you through these speakers. It's written by a friend of mine named Mark Williams. He's singing the song here. The song is called More. Mark has almost zero possessions to his name. He has almost nothing, and he touches the lives of thousands of people for God. Astonishing. So if you'll please sit, listen to this song, look at the words, inspect your heart.
Can it be true that you love everyone? Know what to do because you are the Son and more. I am less than I desire to be, and there's no question that the five in me wants more, more than I offer on my own. I've wandered off too far from home to return. This is the story of a better man, of one who'll do all that I never can, and more, more, he said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. For this behavior will bring nothing else but more, more. Then I offer on my own. For I must be heading home to return. I want the truth and I want the light. I want the proof I'm making through the night and more, more. He said, I am the truth and I am the way. I am the proof of a better day for you, for me, for us, for we must.
Shared with us, and that our act of worship will be to respond to what you have taught us today. So as we go, Lord, I pray that we go with great reflection of this word today, of what you have told us and what you've spoken into us, and that we will respond the way that you would have us to. Not for our glory, but for yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Dismissed.